You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
This is Gene Hilkins bringing you the Apostolic Dimension from Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. We welcome you to our program, Raising the Standard. Revelation 19:10 says, "Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." So with this spirit, let's take a close look at the last days and the coming millennium from a Jewish messianic perspective. There's a great difference between the messianic Jewish understanding and the common Christian interpretation found in most end-time books. Christians over the centuries have separated themselves from their Jewish roots, causing many misunderstandings of key Jewish biblical idioms, therefore missing the true interpretation of many scriptures. We can better understand both the Old Testament and the New Testament by rebuilding the bridge to Judaism and learning to embrace its tradition and worship of God. This does not mean that everyone should wholly convert or become Jewish in lifestyle and religion. Rather, I believe a Christian can embrace and respect Judaism by learning to think in Jewish terminology and honoring God's appointed times, the Jewish festivals, which truly explain the elements of the Christian faith. So join me today as we open the Bible and study God's prophetic foreshadows to teach us about Jesus the Messiah. Let's walk in His footsteps and receive His revelation.
Well, good afternoon. This is Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton, greeting you to our program again on another Saturday afternoon, and we welcome you. We trust you'll be blessed with what you hear today, and not because of Don and I, but because we're going to give you the Word of God. And Don and I co-pastor a church here in Stuart. We have for 23 years, Spirit of Prophecy Ministries, right out of Revelation 19:10, a wonderful name. We love it. And so we're honored to be here with you, and I hope you can stay tuned in for the whole hour. If you can't, as we always tell you up front, we offer a CD or a tape, whichever one you'd want, to the radio program if you want to listen to it again. So we've had a lot of people call and ask about that, so praise God for that. And we're excited to be here with you again this Saturday. And it seems like the Saturdays roll around so quick, but here we are, we're counting the Omer now, and I believe today is going to be the 22nd day of counting, because last Saturday was the 15th day of counting the Omer, so today will be the 22nd day, seven more days. So we got a ways to go out to 50 yet, so we're excited about that. Another thing I might mention, I've got a book I wrote quite a while ago, and we talk about it from time to time, and it has all seven of the appointed times mentioned in Leviticus chapter 23, where we're going to start today. And we have a lesson on every one of the appointed times. Plus, we have one on Hanukkah. We have one on Purim. We have two lessons on the book of Daniel, chapter 9. We have all that in that book. And so it's called the prophetic calendar that God has put in place, God's prophetic calendar, and pictures of the Messiah as revealed in God's appointed times. So it's a marvelous text, and it's not talking about because of me, but God showed me all this as the years went by. And we've had that book out for a long time, and we sell it and offer it for $25, plus maybe $3 or $4 for shipping and handling. We'd be glad to get it out to you. All you have to do is call. Donna's going to give you the number here again a little bit, but I'm going to mention you can call area code 772, and the number's 285-7007, or you can just make a check out to Spirit of Prophecy. I'll get it right in a minute. Spirit of Prophecy Ministries, and mail it to Post Office Box 413. That's in Stuart, Florida, and the zip is 34995. I'll give you the address again. Spirit of Prophecy Ministries, Post Office Box 413, Stuart, Florida. The zip is 34995. We'll be glad to get it out to you. So you'll be blessed with it. You'll learn some things maybe you never knew. It goes into some deep things, and all the scriptures are there. You look up the scriptures, and your eyes are going to be opened up. You'll say, "Wow, I never knew that was there."
Wow.
And so there's so much in it that God wants us to know. And so remember, what we're going to talk about today, even in Leviticus chapter 3, these are all patterns to something that's going to be happening in the future, okay? We've already talked about the Passover. We've been through the Passover. And what was it? It was a pattern showing us about Yeshua was going to come about 1,500 years after the Passover when Israel came out of Egypt back in that day. And so it was a rehearsal every year to see what God was going to do. And then one day, the real event happened, and that's when Yeshua was born of Mary, came into this world, born of a woman under the Torah, hallelujah, grew up, and at 30 years old started his ministry, and he knew what his purpose was, and he served all mankind at that time on the earth where he was at for 3.5 years, and he knew he had to die and to be resurrected from the dead, and he did exactly what he said he was going to do. So that's how we know that the Messiah that we serve, Yeshua HaMashiach, hallelujah, is truly God's Messiah. He came once for the world, mainly for Israel, but they didn't know the day of their visitation. He's preparing to come back again. I pray that Israel will not miss their second day of visitation. But the Bible reveals a lot over in Zechariah and all, where it looks like a lot of them are going to miss it because they've got all these old thoughts and everything that's been handed down by the sages and the rabbis and all that. So they just need to look at the Word of God and take it literally for what it says. And so that's what we do on this program. So we're honored to be here with you. We mentioned we're on every Saturday from 12 noon until 1. We just release ourselves right now to you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
We release your prophetic word to flow in this radio program today. And God, we thank you for the listeners. They'll have ears to hear what the Spirit of God is going to say to them, that they might grow up, mature, be activated, imparted, and understand there's some things in the Word of God that He's wanting us all to know and understand so that we won't be caught in any kind of a surprise when that day comes, when we hear that shout from heaven and there's going to be a resurrection out from among the dead. And then all of us that remain on the earth that's in Christ Jesus, walking with Him, we will be caught, snatched off this earth in a moment of time. He's coming in the sky the first time, not to the earth. He'll come back to the earth, as it says in Acts chapter 1 over there. At the end of Jacob's trouble, He'll come and put His foot again on the Mount of Olives. So we're excited about this, Father God, to teach this and people could understand that God is always showing us the end from the beginning. We got people today teaching things. We got people today, Lord, teaching the end from the end. No, looking at all these things. No, we look at the Bible. The Bible says we'll know the end from the beginning. We have to go back to the ancient past, see what God put in place, and we just glean from that. We just receive it, and God will show us things. And so we pray today, Lord, as we open up this program, that everyone listening will have a prophetic mind. I didn't say pathetic, a prophetic mind to hear what the Lord would say to you as we read these scriptures and talk about these things even today. So we release every listener that's listening right now, and even those that will come on maybe that will come on later that didn't hear this prayer. But we pray for you. We lift you up. We want you to grow up and mature in the things of God. And that's what we call this program for 18 plus years, raising the standard. We want to raise the standard in the body of Christ to see what you put in place, Father. It has never changed. It's never been abrogated. We don't pick and choose what we want. These are not suggestions in the Bible. You told us to do those things. And you said if we would obey your commandments, your statutes, and all those things, we loved you, we would keep those things. And so, Lord, we need to know this. And what we're going to talk about today is very important. We're going to talk about counting the Omer. And like I mentioned, today will be the 22nd day of counting the Omer. We'll talk about this as we read some scriptures in chapter 23 of Leviticus. But Pastor Donna's got some things she wants to talk about here, make a couple of announcements. And so I'm going to release my precious wife to you in the name above all names, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Well, I also want to mention that I give our telephone number, and I want to say hello out there.
Well, that evening will be the 21st or 22nd. Go ahead. You go ahead.
I want to mention, well, hallelujah, I have a little private conversation
here. We're kind of talking to each other here and keeping you out of the loop, so we ask you to forgive us for that. All right, go ahead, Pastor
Glory
God.
Glory be to God. I want to give our telephone number, Pastor Gene, and let people know we have services here in Stuart, Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And so we come together and we meet with God on Sunday morning at, on the first day of the week at 10 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
And then we also come together on Friday night at 7 p.m. when we have celebrate the, we
Shabbat.
Come together and
Ooh,
have the Shabbat and honor the Sabbath. And then we come together on Saturdays as well at 4 o'clock. But give us a call because we don't always meet every Saturday and we may not always meet every Saturday during the summer. But
this week we will.
Just according to however the Lord leads us. But just give us a call. It's easy to make a phone call for you to start coming from, Palm Beach or some
right.
places. Because it seems like most of the people that come to visit us come from either the north or the south or the east or the west. Well, I want to say hello to Roscoe and Audrey, who's over there in the Bahama Islands
Hallelujah.
And building the Temple of God. And the building's going up, and praise God for that. I mean, really concrete and steel and all of that, and the Temple of God is coming. You're going to have a strong roof on it. And
He's working on it.
All these
Hallelujah.
Things are happening over there on Andros Island. We keep them in prayer as well. And so I want to give our phone number here. So if you have a pen or a pencil, I also want to mention that you can listen to us on the internet, and you can also listen to other programs on the radio station that we're on.
Mm-hmm.
And you can listen to repeat programs. You can listen to what we had to say last week or maybe last year on WCNO. It's www.wcno.com. And just go and look for Saturday and look for Saturday at 12 noon, Raising the Standard, Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton. And there you will find us, and you can enjoy. Also, you can enjoy much radio programs that they have and music all 24/7 around
the
world.
That's right. Hallelujah.
And the phone number here in Stuart, Florida is area code 772-285-7007. I'll repeat that. Area code 772-285-7007. And we want to remember, too, Pastor Gene, when we're talking about the Jewish calendar, that the day begins...
In the evening.
Well,
at sunset, yeah.
Why does God do that?
Mm-hmm.
Well, God has a way, and He has set things up in the order that He has it. Man is the one who's changed the calendar, who's changed the time. He said it would, the beginning of a new day would be the evening and the morning.
That's right, in Genesis chapter 1.
In the evening and the morning.
That's right.
So here in America, people say a new day starts at 12 midnight. Well, that's not... So according to God's calendar.
That's right.
So it's a little complicated when people try to look at the two of them. That's why it's good to have a calendar within a calendar. And so mm-hmm. we make a calendar up every month, and has the things on the calendar that we're doing for that month, and also has the Jewish calendar, so
that's
people
right.
can become familiar
they
with
can compare it, yeah.
with the days and the, mm-hmm. you know, the different calendars.
The other thing we have to remember also is when the Bible was written. Okay, they didn't have Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and all that.
No.
Those were all pagan names. They didn't have January, February, March.
No.
God had a number on the month and the day. Now, some of the months He mentions, but a lot of times He doesn't. So if we don't know the calendar and we're reading something, we need to say, well, what time of the year was this? What was God doing at that particular time? That opens
up. Well, if we just go back to Genesis.
Yeah, that's right.
Even then, there were names stuck on different places, different
that's
calendars.
Right.
A lot of the names on the Jewish calendars some of them are pagan names.
That's right. How do they get Tammuz on their calendar? Right?
Tammuz, that's not
that's a pagan name.
So, right back in Genesis, He says the first day, the second day.
That's right.
So, he like you said, God likes God's numbers. So, how
He's not confused.
He's not confused. He makes pretty simple. He only goes to seven, then you got to start all over again. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
That's right.
And so maybe if people would do that, they wouldn't forget the Sabbath. And they wouldn't remember. They would remember. They wouldn't forget what God said. He says, "The Sabbath is holy, and that we are to keep the Sabbath and honor the Sabbath, not religiously, because it's a commandment."
That's right.
It was set in place before the Ten Commandments.
That's right.
Now people say, "Well, we're not under the commandments." Well, if we love God, I read this in church on Sunday. I declared this in church. If we love God, then what will we do? Jesus gave us two commandments.
Two commandments.
And if we love God, and the first one is to love God. If we love God,
it's all our heart.
We're going to do what God said.
That's it.
From the beginning.
Amen.
Because God doesn't change. And if we want to understand what's going to happen in the end, we better go back to the beginning and see how God set things up in the beginning. Now, man comes along and they change things.
You got it.
Because God did it right.
He's never wrong.
Even His language, the Hebrew language is from right to left.
That's right.
Well, man decided they wanted to go from left
to right. Yeah.
So that man always thinks they're right and God
That's
is
right.
wrong.
That's
so,
right.
God had it right from the beginning. But, people look at the Hebrew language and say, well, gee, this is wrong. Or, the letters, the writing of the letters and everything. This is wrong. No, it was right. It's right. It's just we're
wrong.
Because we've learned the wrong way. And so it's hard to sometimes get to switch,
That's
to look
right.
back and to get things in the right perspective, because
right.
we're looking at things sometimes, we actually look at things sometimes the opposite of the way God
right.
is telling us or He sees it.
And we've had several calendars from the Roman days. They had the Julian calendar. Now we have the Gregorian calendar. Well, man's played around with that. But see, God's lunar calendar has not been played around with. He's got 30 days a month, 12 months a year. What is that? 360 days a year, okay?
And even other people, even Jewish people, will argue that point.
Yeah.
But, when we look at the book of Revelation and we see how the numbers come, it's in your book,
mm-hmm.
about Daniel, what it says in Daniel.
That's right.
And what it says in the book of Revelation. Of course, we're not going to go there today, but you can find out all these things if you would, if you want to take the time to study. And to read, and Pastor Sheen's not the only one who has seen this, but we need to know these things because God is going to do certain things on a certain number of days, and you can't figure it out on a 365 day or a 256 day or whatever it is. It has and the Jewish calendar is.
Well, the Jewish calendar has 354 days.
54. I'm sorry.
They have 6 days less because of the way that, right. that we know technically when the new moon comes now.
Right.
So they lost 6 days.
But
God didn't.
No, but man has tried to figure things out, and so we've really kind of messed things all up.
That's right.
So we just really need to read our Bible and get back into the first day, the second day, the third
basics.
Day. Basics. And remember the Sabbath day and to keep it holy.
And you know, some of these things we read in Leviticus chapter 23, it tells you they're going to do these things. It doesn't say for a while. It says forever.
Ever.
What we're going to talk about, they're going to do that forever.
And the Sabbath day was given to us, right?
Forever.
For rest.
That's right.
Because we need that rest, and we need to have the rest of the Lord. We need to come in, and it's a special time to be with the Lord and to be
Amen.
With and family. And so we need that rest, and that means you know. And you know, I read somebody, I think it was, maybe I heard somebody talking about a Jewish person, that you know people really shouldn't make people work on the Sabbath.
That's right.
But people do. People do make them work on
the
Sabbath.
They're serving mammon.
That's
money.
Right. So,
yep. years ago, that never happened. I can remember when I was in high school, even you couldn't get.
But that
guests.
Was a Sunday.
Yeah, well, you couldn't even on the first day of the week. You could, but they didn't honor the Sabbath. But I'm thinking about even the first day of the week. Today, they do everything on the first day of the week.
But I don't know. I don't remember any time that the Sabbath was honored in my lifetime.
I don't either. I don't ever
except
remember.
Except for I'm sure Jewish people have, but you know, I wasn't raised a Jewish person, Jewish or so. But you know, people work on this on Saturday. It's a fun day. You know.
Yeah.
So they don't really.
I don't recall ever meeting somebody when I was growing up that was Jewish that talked about the Sabbath. I can't recall anybody at all that ever talked about.
Well,
that.
So many people have just laid the things of God aside, and just because of what they want to do, their convenience, what they want to do, you know, and it's like it's either for some people it's a work day, for other people it's a fun day, you know.
When we got saved in 1982. That's when we began to realize some things. But even then, the church wasn't teaching about these things that we're talking about on the radio.
They still aren't.
They're still not in most
You'll
areas.
You'll find very few people that will tell you to keep the Sabbath.
To honor it.
And it's because of the heart. And see, I want to get back to the heart.
Amen.
People say, oh, you're teaching legalism.
Nope, we're not.
If you love God, that's where it all comes back to. If we love God, see, we even can't love our brother or sister. We can't have charity for somebody a Christian brother or sister if we can't have love for God.
That's right.
And how can we love God how can we obey God if we don't truly love him and say, you know, say it's not say it's legalistic, but and so
it's
you know, it really is, it's all has to be, it's a heart change.
Keeping his commandments is not legalism.
It comes down to having a heart change.
That's right.
Because if you love him, you'll want to do what God says in the word.
Amen.
You won't want to go out and do the wrong thing.
That's
you
right.
won't want to steal and do things that are wrong. You don't want to be pleasing.
And there's a spiritual connotation with all the scriptures. We don't do the ceremonial things and all that, but there's a spiritual content in all those that we can glean from something that God wants to show us in our life.
Mm.
It's so important to know that.
Well, amen.
Amen. So we're honored to be here with you. So we're going to talk a little bit about counting the Omer today. Okay. Don and I was having a discussion a little bit across the table a minute ago. Well, actually, it's actually the 21st day of counting the Omer, but at sunset, it'll be what? The 22nd day. So it's an interesting thought. So let's go, if you got your Bible, let's open up your Bibles over to Leviticus chapter 23. And if you don't have a Bible or you're out in the car, just listen real close. You can order a CD or a tape, and all we ask for is a love offering. And you can make out a check to Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. And mail to Post Office Box 413, that's in Stuart, Florida. And the zip there is 34995, and we'll be glad to get it out to you, okay? Or the book I wrote for $25. So let's go over there, Donna, to Leviticus chapter 23. And I think we need to talk about, I want to start in verse 9. I'm not going to read all this, but in verse 9 it says, "Then the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, When ye be come into the land which I give unto you, and shall reap the harvest thereof, then you shall bring a sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest unto the priest." Okay? So this is referring to the first fruits, and Yeshua fulfilled all that. We talked about that in weeks in the past. And verse 11 says, "And he shall wave the sheaf," or what? "Of the barley before the Lord to be accepted for you on the morrow." What's the morrow mean? Tomorrow, after
the
Sabbath.
Next day.
This means the weekly Sabbath, not the high Sabbath. "The priest shall wave it." All right? Now we go down to verse 15. This is what we're going to begin to talk about today. "And Moses spoke here by the Spirit of God, and ye shall count unto you from the morrow, means the day after what? The Sabbath, the weekly Sabbath, from the day that you brought the sheaf of the wave offering, seven Sabbaths shall be completed. Well, what's seven times seven? 49 days.
49.
Now, even unto the morrow, what, the next day, after the seventh Sabbath, shall you number what? 50 days. That's what Pentecost means. Penta means what? 50.
50 comes after 49.
Yeah, that's right. And you shall offer a new meal offering unto the Lord.
Mm-hmm. A new meal offering. What's a new meal offering?
It's a grain offering. That's right.
A new grain.
New type of grain, yeah. It's still going to be barley, but listen to this.
No, the next one's going
to
be wheat.
It's going to turn out to the early wheat, yeah. But so they just waved the sheaf for the barley. Now they're going to count out and we're going to have the early wheat. Now listen to this. 17. You shall bring out of your habitations two wave loaves. Okay. And they're going to be made into loaves of 2/10 deals. They shall be a fine flour. They shall be baking with leaven. Now look at this. Now it's got leaven in it. See, mm-hmm. Passover, it was unleavened bread. They are the first fruits unto the Lord. And you shall offer with the bread seven lambs. Here's God's number seven. Mm-hmm. Without blemish of the first year, and one young bullock, and two rams. They shall be for a burnt offering unto the Lord with their meat offering. The meat offering means the grain. A burnt offering was a freewill offering that was brought. And their drink offerings, even an offering made by fire of sweet savor unto the Lord. You know, I was thinking about this, Don. He loved when they burnt the flesh on the fire. He loved the smell of burning flesh. He loves when we burn our flesh and get it out of the way that's causing our problems in our life. Now, verse 19.
Once we get rid of our.
That's right.
Smell.
Verse 19. Then you shall sacrifice the kid of the goats for a sin offering. Hear that? And two lambs of the first year for a sacrifice of peace offerings. So all the offerings are being covered in here. And Yeshua represents all of them. Mm. And the priest shall wave them with the bread of the first fruits, these two loaves, for a wave offering before the Lord. With the two lambs they shall be holy to the Lord for the priest. And you shall proclaim on the selfsame day that it may be a holy convocation unto you. You shall do no servile work therein. It shall be a statute forever in all your dwelling. Hear this? It shall be a statute forever in all your dwellings throughout your generations. So this date in the future, is this, as they counted from this point, it wound up being Sivan 6 on the Jewish calendar, okay? When he spoke from Mount Sinai. And so we see what he did here with all this. It's incredible to show us what he wants us to know. And so this is all talking about counting of the Omer. So what are they counting here, Pastor Don? It's a measure of grain. And so they count it. They want to get enough so they can make these two loaves at that particular time. And so here we have two wave loaves baked with leaven. So what do you think that leaven represents, Pastor Don? What do you think?
That makes me kind of scratch my head. But I know there's different opinions.
Right. But there's two loaves.
Two loaves.
So what I think prophetically God's trying to show us here, he's got the Jew first and also the Gentile, okay? So we got the two groups. We got the ecclesia, it's called, you know, the church.
Looking
ecclesia.
To the first future,
that's
you're
right.
Saying?
And so we're talking about Jew or Gentile, then the Messiah is one of them. And the other loaf, I think, is representative of Israel. So what happens? He's telling us with this, with 11, that there's going to be sin in the church, and there's going to be sin with Israel as well. But see, our purpose is to what? To get into God's Word and find out all the things that he doesn't want us to do, and then we'll cleanse ourselves from all that. And by the washing of the water of the Word, we can remove all that out of our lives and we can walk a holy life with the Lord. His purpose for you is to walk a holy life with you. Peter said it in one of his epistles. God said, I am holy, so you be holy.
Holy.
So Peter said the same thing. God said, I'm holy, you be holy also. And this is how we learn how to do this, by obeying the Word. Amen? So this was the first, it says in verse 20, and the priest shall weigh them with the bread of the first fruits for a wave offering before the Lord with the two lambs. They shall be holy to the Lord for the priest. Holy for the priest. So isn't that amazing when you think about this?
And you know, you think about, Pastor Gene, when they came out of Egypt with Moses, they weren't all Jews.
Nope.
There were a lot of people that were not Jews. And they didn't really know
what it was all about.
What it was all about. And so this was also a learning process for them. You know, learning about what God says and learning to listen to Moses. And, you know, some of them squabbled and argued with Moses. You know, they didn't like what he had to do. They and, you know, I imagine even the ones that were not Jewish, they probably antagonized the ones that were Jewish, you know, thinking, you know, hey, you didn't have it so bad off. Now you're out here in this wilderness.
And you're griping and moaning.
And you're complaining, you
That's
know.
Right.
But, you know, they had to if they were going to stay there with the group that God had called out, you know, the Jews, the Hebrews, and they had to learn a lot of things they had to learn. And so there was a mixed multitude there. So even at that time, there were Jews or Hebrews and Gentiles.
Right.
Even at that time.
The Egyptians wanted to do it.
That's right. So even then, you know, here you have, you're talking about your two loaves. You have those that that chose to come out. There's a lot of people in the Bible, different through the Bible, that chose to join Israel.
That's right.
What about the story? What about Ruth and that,
right.
that story?
And how about Esther and her name? A lot of them joined.
They decided
Jews.
To join.
That's right.
And become part of the congregation or the family.
The ecclesia that God had then. Yeah.
That God had.
Yeah.
And they saw, their eyes were open. They saw the truth. And so here we have you did have a mixture of people. Well, you think about Israel now and Jerusalem and the things that are going on over there. You know, there are a lot of different types of people over there. It's amazing, you know,
right.
the people that live in that small place in Israel, even in Jerusalem, you know, the people that live there. And so, is that why one of the reasons why we're commanded to pray for the peace of Jerusalem.
Jerusalem?
And, you know, every single believer, every single Christian should be praying for Israel, for the peace of Jerusalem.
They're our pattern, aren't they? What God did
because
with Jerusalem.
Because if we keep our eye on that area and what's happening over there, we are seeing, if we know the Bible, we're seeing Bible prophecy coming to pass.
That's right, every day.
And we're going to see it more and more and more as we get closer and closer to the coming of the Lord.
Chip. Yep.
Because he says things are going to shake.
That's right.
You know, things are going to happen. But we're to continue to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And, you know, you think about it. You know, people aren't afraid to go over there. People are moving there right and left. Jewish
right.
people are moving back. Even those who, and people are going over there on tours, going over there to visit. Because what? The Spirit is drawing them. And you see some people say, aren't you afraid to go to Israel?
Nope.
No, it's probably the
safest place
in the world, you know. It's God has his finger on that spot. You know, there's more power in his little tiny finger than there, you know, to create the whole, everything. He can do whatever he wants to do. He's all powerful, but God's eye is upon that piece of property because that belongs to God. I mean, everything belongs to God, but he has pinpointed that area for the King of Kings to come to return. To return from the place that he left.
Amen.
He came there once. He's coming again.
That's right.
And he's going to return to the very same place when he comes back to set up his kingdom.
Makes
it's
that
going to
clear.
Be right there in Israel, right there
in
Jerusalem.
Yeah.
And so you wonder, why are there so many different types of people there? Well, you know, God loves everyone.
Well, we have a mixed multitude in the body of Christ today. Look at all the nations that have come to Christ. Look, we have a mixed multitude, too.
In the body of Christ, right.
That's right.
Right.
God's desire was, you know, Israel showed the way and everything he gave them, but he was hoping that all mankind would come, and he would never reject mm-hmm. anybody. He said any of the Gentiles that wanted to come in and obey the commandments that God had in place, they could join the congregation of Israel.
And a lot
of them did.
And so many of those people who left Egypt on the really a spur of the moment, they joined Israel and they became what they chose to become one with them. So here we have these two loaves. I would say you can look at it that way as well.
That's right. Well, I think about two loaves here. Think about Joshua and Caleb when they, you know, after Moses died and Joshua took over. Well, remember? Oh, this was before Moses died. But remember, they went into the Promised Land and they took what 12 men. One from each tribe. Well, 10 of them came back with a bad report. 2 of them came back with a good report. Now, most of them came back and said, we're like grasshoppers over there because there was giants in the land. But the interesting thing was Joshua was a Jew. Now, if you study the scriptures, Caleb, his father was Jephunneh, who was a Gentile.
He's one of the ones that came through.
That's right. And so he came through, and so it shows a picture of the Jew and the Gentile together. And the interesting thing, God mm-hmm. honored him so much that he put him in the tribe of Judah.
Isn't that awesome?
Isn't it awesome? A Gentile.
And so he's part of that, one of those loaves.
That's right.
One of those loaves.
Even though he was not born Jewish. Yeah.
And even during that time, see, they had the two loaves then. We think about it futuristically about the Jew and the Gentile. But even at this time, when just after they came through the Red Sea, even at this time, they had the two loaves.
That's it.
Representing the two. Actually, representing, you think about it, Joshua and Caleb.
Just and also the Jews
and all the people that would come from their families.
I think it represents the Jews and the Gentiles also, you know. So
that's right.
There's a lot of things you can look at with those two loaves. And the interesting thing was they were baked with leaven. Leaven's always a picture of sin, okay?
And you know, you think about the two became one.
That's right.
Joshua and Caleb agreed.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were the only two men left, the only two people left that were able to go into the promised land and lead the people. And you know, Caleb, not being a Jew, he even declared it, and he said, give me the mountain.
And he wanted a tough place, didn't he?
See, the mountain was the tough place.
That's right,
the giants
that's right.
were. So he was not afraid, and he was, 80 years old?
That's right.
Or older? He wanted he said, give me my mountain, give me the tough place. So he was willing to, you know, they said they were both as strong as when they had come out of Egypt. They were still both as strong after 40 years. So look how God protected them, sustained them, kept their strength, even in what we would call their old age. It doesn't got, well, I said, that gives me a word of encouragement because, you know, we're not young, but yet we're young in the Lord and we're young in the Spirit. And so, but even as we work, even the days that we work, as we do give all of our time, we give our life to the Lord, you know, God is going to honor that, just like he honored Joshua and Caleb, and those two men were used greatly to bring the people across the Jordan and into the battles, because they had battles. Once they got across the Jordan and they got into the promised land, you know, the promised land, it did have all the beautiful, wonderful, large fruit, grapes, all the things that they had. Had all this great things, but it also had. They also had to fight a battle. They just didn't walk in and hand it to them in their, you know, put in their laps or in their hands. No, they had to go and they had to win wars. But and as long as they were, as we go continue to read in this, we're in the Leviticus now when the reading of the Torah portions, as long as they were obedient, that's the key thing there.
That was it.
As long as they were obedient, they didn't lose any battle. Because why? The Lord fought the battles for them.
Mm-hmm.
But the minute the people went against what God had said, they would lose. Mm-hmm. And so they would lose. And so they'd have to repent and come back, and they'd win a battle, maybe then they'd lose a battle. Well, then they had to see, they had to find out, well, why did we lose this battle? Wasn't it like life today?
That's right. You're right.
You win some and you lose some. Mm-hmm. But if we stay on the path of righteousness and we stay on the path of holiness and keeping and putting God first in our lives, then I believe that we're going to win more and more battles.
That's right.
And we won't slip up so many times.
You know, I'm thinking about that leaven a little bit. That leaven also is a picture, I believe, of the false and corrupt portions of Israel and also the church. And that's mm-hmm. enough, because leaven's always a picture of sin. And we think about the parable of the wheat and the tares. Same type of thing, right? That's right. So the counting of Omer is very important.
So what are we going to talk about? What happened on that 50th day? We talked a little bit about that last week. And that 50th day, something happened then, and also something happened about 1,500 years, am I correct? In the future, when after Yeshua spent those 40 days. And during this 40 days of counting the Omer, is the same time, now doesn't God knew that,
sure
it wasn't
he did.
By chance, it was the same time that mm-hmm. Jesus was with his disciples during those 40 days
after his resurrection,
when mm-hmm. when they saw him on the shore, you know, and there were fish there, right? And the disciples had gone out fishing, right?
That's right.
And they didn't catch anything all night.
That's right, yep.
And so they see a man, you know, and one of the disciples recognized who it was.
John knew right away,
he
didn't
knew.
He?
But Peter, he didn't, and he jumped in the river. He jumped in the water. I don't know if it was a lake, I guess.
It was in the lake.
He jumped in, because he didn't have his shirt on. It says he jumped in, and you know, he must have really felt bad, because he had already rejected the Lord three times, and he said he wouldn't reject him at all. He
That's
said
right.
he would stand, you know, all along.
So I'll go with you and die.
No matter what. But he had already denied him three times. And that's the time, you know, and they didn't catch any fish. And so Jesus tells them to throw the net on the right side of the boat. Well, see, they were doing the wrong thing. They were out there fishing when they were not supposed to be doing that. Mm-hmm. And they were doing the wrong thing. So Jesus used that example to teach them something.
Right.
He always wants to teach us something. And his word teaches us, doesn't it? So they were obedient, threw the net on the right side, and they had so many fish. It was hard to drag the fish.
Drag it in, that's right.
See, Jesus didn't need fish.
He already had a cooking on the shore.
He already had the fish already cooking. He had already had the fire was already there. The fish was already ready.
Had already established for them to come.
He already had the bread. He is the bread of life.
That's right.
And so he sits there and he teaches them, and that's the time he asked, and we got to get back to love.
That's right.
That's the time he asked Peter, "Do you love me?"
More than these.
Three times. He asked him three times, "Do you love me?" And finally, Peter said, "Well, Lord, you know all things. You know all things."
You know
he
that
does
I love
know
you.
All things.
That's right.
But see, Peter didn't have the love. And it even shows that after he asked him all those things, and after Peter said, "You know all things," then he goes and he starts to ask him about the other disciple.
Yeah.
So, see, his mind was he was in his mind.
Yeah.
It hadn't registered in his heart. And then Jesus finally tells him, he says, you know, right now you're doing what you want to do. I'm paraphrasing this. But a day's going to come when you're going to be willing to yield to what? To the death that you're going to die to. And you'll do it willingly.
True.
Because you'll be totally sold out. Because see, when Peter said, "Well, you know, I love you, Lord." Well, there was a different kind of love. God was trying to get him. Jesus wanted him to have this deeper love.
He had a phileo kind of love instead of agape, yeah.
He wanted him to have the agape love like, see, John had. And so even seeing John, you know, could there have been a little bit of envy or jealousy there, you know, of what, because he said, well, you know, it doesn't matter.
What are you going to do with John, he asked.
It doesn't matter. If this man lives to win, you know.
And then he sees me come back, yeah.
What is it any of your business, basically?
That's right.
So, it all comes back down to love, about loving somebody. So this time was all happening during that time of counting the Omer, when Jesus was teaching them things about the kingdom of God.
That's right.
Deeper things, because the resurrection had already happened.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's there, he shows up at different times throughout those 40 days, and he teaches them, and he spends time with his disciples. And so they begin to have a deeper understanding and just more in-depth understanding of what Jesus was saying.
But the real love didn't come until the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2 when they got the baptism. That's when the love really dropped into Peter's heart.
When it dropped into Peter's heart.
That's right.
Yes, and it's bold. And
Boldness.
Bold. You know, Peter was not afraid to ask the Lord questions, you know, and I mean, there was a certain boldness that the Lord really liked about Peter.
Yeah.
I mean, he chose him to speak forth on that day. And I think it's because he was boldness and because finally, his boldness and because finally, you know, he finally got hit. You know, sometimes you got to just get hit, you know. and you just kind of have to get shocked, you know, and then you come to a realization. That's what God says.
I remember the one time Jesus told Peter, he says, "Satan has desired to sift you like wheat, but I'm going to pray for you. When you're converted, you're going to do a lot for you with your brothers."
That's right.
And he did.
That's right.
So.
And for the second, well, that's really, that's very prophetic what you just said.
That's right.
Because these two loaves was wheat. And so he was sifted like wheat. And then he was raised.
That's right.
I know leaven represents sin and all, but it also has a raising, okay?
Mm-hmm.
When it sifted like wheat, and then he was raised, thinking about Peter, he was raised to this place of bringing the gospel forth. He got the fullness of the Spirit.
Right.
Couldn't it also be a picture of getting the fullness of the Spirit of the Lord? And so he got that fullness of the Spirit, and he was able to go out there and speak boldly. And over 3,000 people, I believe it says.
That's right.
Were
not
saved.
Saved.
And people started getting saved all over the place. You know, Jews. Most of them were Jews, but I'm sure that there were many that weren't Jews as well. And then, you know, there were a lot of people there at that time because that's one of the three times of the year when the men
all had to be there.
To come to Jerusalem.
Yeah. But I think about the wheat. He says he said the devil wants to sift you like wheat. Well, you know, when they do, there was a lot of chaff floating around the air. Well, see, Peter was kind of getting his eyes on the chaff instead of on the wheat. And I think Jesus was trying to show him, get your eyes on me and what I'm wanting to show you. And when you're converted, you're going to do a lot of good things, not only for
And you know, they have to beat on the wheat.
That's right.
The barley, they shake, it flies
they
up. It's easy to separate.
Yeah.
It's easy to separate the grain from the chaff.
What's
chaff.
That word they use for that when they do that?
Willowing.
The millowing or whatever.
But the wheat has to be, you know, crushed.
Yeah.
And so don't we sometimes have to have a crushing experience?
Yeah.
And I think that visitation that Jesus had with him, with those disciples were there asking, that was a crushing. Do you love me? Do you
That's
love
right.
me?
Sure.
You know, do you love me? Do you really love me? You know, what if I said that to you after 50-some years of marriage? That would might hurt your heart a little bit. There would be a crushing there. But Jesus had to do that for Peter to receive what he had to receive for the plan of his life, for the destiny of his life to fulfill.
Sure.
What God had called him to do, because God didn't want him to stay out there fishing.
Nope.
No, he had
fish
for
men. Yeah.
He had a
greater call
on his life.
That's right. But we think about Pentecost. You know, it's revealed over in Exodus chapter 19 when Israel moved out on the 15th of Nisan, and they got to the foot of the mountain on Sivan 3. It tells you in chapter 19, verse 1. And then he told them to set themselves aside for what? For 3 days. And then on the 50th day, God was going to speak from heaven. It's incredible. It's a picture also of the catching away and all that. And so here we see, during those 50 days, right here with this event that happened, well, God was wanting to what? To purge them. And bring them to a new place with him, get rid of the old Egypt out. You know, they're not making bricks for Pharaoh anymore. He was trying to purge them to bring them to that new place. Well, now we've gone all these years. God's doing the same thing with us since that day in Acts chapter 2. He's wanting to use the baptism and the word of God and things we have to purge us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness that we can walk with the Lord.
And don't we need that purging?
We sure do need it. It's like a tree, you know, or flowers. You know, you purge it and more flowers come out.
You cut the branches.
You cut the branches off if they need to be cut off.
If they're not of God, they need to be cut off.
That's right. That's what he said over there in John chapter 15 about the vine and the branches.
Are you in the vine?
That's right. Are you really hooked into him?
Are we building branches on our own?
That's right.
No.
So this is incredible here in Exodus chapter 19, we might just go over and look at the tail end of this. We know they got there on the third. He told them to set themselves aside. And I like what it says in verse 5. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my commandment or my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. Hear that? Woo!
And what's it say in 1 Peter 2:9?
That's right.
It talks about us being peculiar
people.
People. And mm-hmm. that we're priests and kings. It says also over there in Peter.
Right. And 19 in Exodus says, verse 6, and you shall be unto me what? A kingdom of priests and a holy nation. Just
holy
what Peter
nation.
Said. Same thing. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. Now we go over here, and he told them in verse 10, and the Lord said unto Moses, go unto the people and sanctify them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes. So they're going to be set apart. And be ready against the third day. I believe all my heart Jesus is going to come down at the beginning of the third day. And what will the third day be? That when the millennial kingdom is coming, we're going to be taken out of here just before that. Amen? And it's going to be incredible what we're going to see with this, the third day. And be ready against the third day. For the third day, the Lord will come down in the sight of all the people upon what? Mount Sinai. And thou shalt set bounds unto the people round about, saying, take heed to yourselves that ye go not up unto the mount or touch the border of it. Whosoever toucheth the mount shall be surely put to death. There shall not a hand touch it, but he shall surely be stoned or shot through. Whether it be beast or man, it shall not live. When the trumpet soundeth long, they shall come up to the mount. Okay? Glory. And Moses went down from the mount unto the people, and sanctified the people, and they washed their clothes, just like they were told. And he said unto the people, be ready against the third day, come not at your wives, just have no relationships with your wife. And here's verse 16, and it came to pass on the third day, which was, this would be what? Sivan 6, okay? Pentecost, in the morning, that there were thunders and lightnings, and a thick cloud upon the mount, and the voice, whoa, of the trumpet exceedingly loud, so that all the people that was in the camp, they trembled. So this was the 50th day. Isn't that amazing?
And that was the voice of God.
That's right.
The voice of the trumpet.
So whenever I read anything in the Bible about the third day, it really quickens me because, you know, from the time that Jesus came on the earth and from his death, burial, and resurrection, when he went back to be with the Father, what do we have left? There's three prophetic days left, each one of those representing 1,000 years back from that time. So we've gone almost through the whole church age, 2,000 years. Now we're getting ready. All right, Jacob's trouble's going to come, and then what's going to happen? That third millennial period that we think about with the third day is when the kingdom will be established. So what's the third day? It will be what? The millennial kingdom. It'll be the seventh kingdom.
Thank you, Lord.
Or the seventh 1,000-year period to establish the kingdom of God. So from the beginning, from the time of Adam until the end, it'll be what? A 7,000-year program to restore mankind and the earth back to the way it was in the very beginning. So the pattern's all revealed in this holy book that I have in front of me. And we love you so much, Lord, for leaving this for us.
Thank you, Lord.
I love it. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
And then over here in verse 19 of Exodus 19, it says this, And when the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder, Moses spake, and God answered him by a voice. Hear this? And the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai on the top of the mount, and the Lord called Moses up to the top of the mount, and Moses went up. And the Lord said unto Moses, Go down, charge the people, lest they break through unto the Lord to gaze, and many of them perish. And let the priests also, which come near to the Lord, sanctify themselves, lest the Lord break forth upon them. And Moses said unto the Lord, The people cannot come up to the mount Sinai, for thou chargest us, saying, Set bounds about the mount and sanctify it. And the Lord said unto him, unto Moses, Away, get thee down, and thou shalt come up, thou and Aaron with thee. But let not the priest and the people break through to come unto the Lord, lest he break forth upon them. So Moses went down unto the people and spake unto them. Isn't that amazing? Mm. And then we find out what? At the end of all that, when he finally came down after 40 days, what? They were having a party. And they made a golden calf and began to worship something besides God. That quick, after all the miracles, all the signs, when he brought them out of Egypt, and they still turned away from him. Well, there was people like that in Jesus' day when they saw the miracles, and what? They rejected him anyhow. The Pharisees and the Sadducees did, and the lawyers and all that. And a lot of people today don't believe that God's doing miracles. I'm telling you, he's a miracle-working God. He is. Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
You go to a lot of doctors, they don't believe in God. They don't believe that God can do miracles. They don't believe that God can heal anybody. They think it's going to be medicine and all that, and what they think. Well, no, God can do anything whatsoever. Hallelujah. And so it's a marvelous picture here. And from this time here in Exodus chapter 19, they went about 1,500 years, didn't they, Pastor Donna, till they came
to the day of Pentecost again.
To Acts chapter 2, the day of Pentecost, when it was really being fulfilled, truly. This was a prophetic picture of it. When that day came, it was prophetically fulfilled at that particular time.
And the Jewish people knew about this because they were celebrating. They were honoring.
Every year they honored it, yeah.
Every single year they were honoring the time when God gave those Ten Commandments. Because the very next verse in chapter 20 says, And God spake, what? He spoke to all these words, saying, and the first thing he says, I am the Lord thy God,
Whoa.
Which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt,
that's right.
Out of the land of bondage.
Hallelujah.
And so we declare the same thing. We honor the Lord thy God. And all of these things, all these commandments that he gives, they're not burdensome. They're not grievous. They're things that will help us to live a life that is pleasing to the Lord, and that we'll have success, we'll have a good
Hallelujah.
life, and we'll have salvation, because God, you know, parents always want their children to be obedient, right? They
Try.
Want them to do the right thing, to be polite and so forth and so on. Well, God expects that and much more for that from us. He expects us to do the right things because he created us. We're created in what? His image.
Right.
But we're not to make any other images.
None.
No, we're not to make any other images.
To worship anything
but the Lord.
And
we're to worship the Lord our God with
That's
all
right.
our heart. And so here this happened. And there were people there in Israel. They were going to Israel all along, all those years going to Israel. Those who could make that trip were going there. And to remember the time that Moses, that God spoke
That's
from
right.
the mountain. And yeah. Moses brought the words. And he says, here it says in verse 8, this because this is about the Sabbath, which we've talked about. He says here,
Remember
Remember.
The Sabbath day to keep it holy.
So it's already been put in place.
That's
way
right.
back in Genesis chapter 1.
Yeah.
Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy.
Read the rest of this now.
6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath. That's the only day that's named right on our calendar. Saturday comes from Sabbath, I believe. Where am I at? But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy maidservants. Don't make people work on the Sabbath,
manservants,
I would say. Yeah. Nor manservants, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gate. You don't even make a stranger work.
Well,
you're not a Jew, you can work. No, that's wrong.
Yeah.
It's for all people, Sabbath is. Not just for Jewish people. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested on the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day. And hallowed it.
And he set it apart.
He blessed the Sabbath day, and he hallowed it, and he set it apart. And he's given it to us, to mankind.
Then he gives them the Ten Commandments.
He's given it to us. He's already given some of them. But yes, that's right. So here we have the Sabbath day. Remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. It's all the way, you can go all the way back to the very first book of the Bible, and you can read about it there.
If you notice the order he gives in verse 12, he says, honor thy father and thy mother, and thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is in thy neighbor's. So you notice he left out the Sabbath because he already told you about it in verse 11.
Well, the Sabbath, right? But if you go back and you read the very, very first one, about the first four have to do with things of God.
That's right. A relationship with him.
But the second one is about not making any images, any graven images, or false likenesses.
That's right.
I'm not going to say that, but anyways, or bowing down to them. You know, a lot of people have pictures. Maybe I should say it. We don't have a lot of pictures. We have family pictures, but a lot of people have pictures of even what Jesus might look like.
Right.
You know,
and or hanging on a cross.
A Jewish
even.
Person, they wouldn't even have a picture of because Jesus, God didn't show himself to Moses his backside. So we really don't have the. I don't know about all these pictures that people have.
All they saw was the backside, most of it.
But, the main thing is his word and to know him, because you don't bow down some people might even have an altar with a picture of Jesus. Listen, I'm not saying it's wrong, but I don't think I would do it because, you're getting your eyes on something else. You're getting your eyes on a picture or a cross and it can almost lead you into even some kind of idol worship. No, we worship God from our heart, not from our eyes to a picture, but from our heart to the Lord, looking up from whence cometh our help. I can't see. I look up, all I see in here now is the ceiling, but I know that there's a great God out there. If I was outside and I look up, I see clouds or stars. I know there's a great God up there.
Amen.
And he hears me when I talk to him, and I don't have to see a representation or a picture of him or anything like that. And so then he talks about it. Then the next one is about, he says he's jealous, verse 5. He says, the Lord thy God am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and the third and the fourth generation of them that hate me. He's going to punishment.
But
he shows mercy unto 1,000 of them that love me and keep my commandments. Well, there. We go over there to where Jesus talked about those two new commandments.
That's right.
It's not that he got rid of all of these Ten Commandments or however many commandments there may be in the Jewish people. What is it? I forget how many.
Started off 213. They added a lot.
600 and some, whatever it is.
Which wound up being legalism, all the rest of it.
A lot of it's legalism.
That's right.
But if, you bring it all back down to love first. Love. And so he says here, where am I at? keep my commandments. He says, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments.
That's right. Thank
Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God
in vain.
See, all these have to do with God. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain.
Then he goes
to remember the Sabbath. Then the rest of them have to deal with man and mankind and relationships with man and things of the law.
And we go on over here, and it tells us that the people stood afar off, and they were afraid. Verse 20 says, and Moses said unto the people, fear not, for God is come to prove you,
mm-hmm.
and that his fear may be before your faces, that ye what?
Sin not.
It tells us that in Romans chapter 11. And the people stood afar off, and Moses drew near unto the thick darkness where God was. Amazing, huh?
Moses
I like verse 24. And an altar of earth thou shalt make unto me, and shalt sacrifice thereon thy burnt offerings and thy peace offerings, thy sheep and thy oxen. In all places where I record
my name,
I will come unto thee, and I will bless thee. Wow.
Thank you, Lord.
Pretty strong stuff, if you ask me. Well, so this time of counting the Omer is important. So we're not quite halfway through it yet. Oh, we're past halfway, aren't we? Yeah. We're going on to the second half because it's a period of what? 50 days. So we're not quite halfway.
We're not halfway through.
That's
yet.
Right. I'm thinking about the 40 days when Jesus went back to be with his Father, you know, after he spent that time with the disciples and taught them about the kingdom of God.
So we're halfway through that.
That's right. And so... And then those last 10 days, they didn't know what was going to happen, but he told them to tarry. We talked about that last week.
He left them alone for 10 days.
That's right.
They had to wait and tarry
and
in Jerusalem, and they had to wait and tarry. And I wonder all the things that might have gone through their mind, you know?
And the precious gift that was given to them after those 10 days is incredible. And most of the church don't want to even accept that today for today.
But they spent enough time during those 40 days counting the Omer.
Oh, yeah.
To none of them wandered off. And and it went their own way. They spent enough time with the Lord and the teachings that he brought them about the things of the kingdom. That's when he spent so much time on about the things of the kingdom that, you know, those 10 days, I don't think they were probably anticipating them with, excitement, not fear or doubt, because they had already spent time with the risen Christ.
That's right.
They'd already spent time with him. 40.
It had to be more than 12 people, because it says in the Acts,
over 120
people. So there's a lot of people there.
A lot of people saw him. He walked on the road with them.
Wow. Well, we're running out of time. Boy, this time goes by so fast. We've enjoyed this with you today.
Amen. We'll just keep you in prayer. You keep us in prayer. This is Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton, and we're on this radio broadcast because God has given us this opportunity, and he wants us to bring forth Raising the Standard. That's what this is called, Raising the Standard. And so if you'd like to listen to this again, you can go to the internet, WCNO.com, or you can give us a call, and we'd be glad to send you a CD. Or if you'd like to come visit us, I'm going to give you our telephone number. We have services here in Stuart, Florida, Sunday morning the first day of the week at 10 a.m. And the phone number here is area code 772-285-7007. I'll repeat that, area code 772-285-7007.
So we're so honored to be here with all of you, and we hope you had ears to hear what the Spirit told you today. And you do some studying yourself, and you'll probably find out a lot of other things as well. And so we're honored to be here. So as we close the program, we tell you to look up, because your redemption draweth nigh, gets closer every day.
Amen.
What do we say, Pastor Don, when we close?
Shabbat shalom, Sabbath peace, and rest.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
I trust that this time with you today has been informative and uplifting. I look forward to speaking to you again next week at the same time. May the God of peace rule and reign in your hearts and lives, and remember that Jesus is Lord and that he is the Spirit of prophecy.